Also the question about what is going on with our planet now, because it became very strange. Maybe you can tell something about that.
All right. So far, I have two questions before me, both of them super good. The first one about discussing relationships and the building of harmonious relationships, which, interestingly enough, I have been writing on my book again, finally, for the first time in over a year and a half. And I have been working on my book again every day. And yesterday, I spoke about, in my book, relationships and developing harmonious relationships. So there's a synchronicity there in that question, which is very interesting. Even more interesting is the second question about what is happening with the world today, because the very fact that there was that synchronicity is in tune with what is happening with the world today. So these two topics are related, except that most people would not have an idea how they were related. And I think it will be very good for me to speak about that, because it will bring up subjects which are, first of all, interesting to talk about, and second of all, are valuable as pieces of information in general. Now, what I'll do is I'll start off by discussing how talking about the synchronicity of the question relates to what's happening in the world today, and then I'll go back to the question itself. In this world, we find there are often times where the energy that is manifested from people is greatly expanded. And when that happens, things transform in various ways. Usually, this increase of energy has something to do with consciousness expansion in some form or another. At the time of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, right after, the Renaissance became a very big influence in the world. Artistry increased, creativity increased, communication between people and awareness increased. Philosophers started dealing with the problem of personal freedoms, of rights, of the way people deal with people. Previous to that, there was a time of darkness, a time of repression practically all over Europe. And this created a lot of suffering in the minds and hearts and physical bodies of people. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, the consciousness, the awareness of the whole world was elevated a step or two or three, I don't know how many steps. Now, at the present time, or previous to this, there was an enormous increase in the awareness of people in this planet. Now, I don't mean to say 100% of the people made an enormous increase in awareness, but I do mean to say that a significant number, a sufficiently significant number of people made some extraordinary changes in their lives. We have seen that in the early 50s, you have the movement of Elizabeth Clare Prophet. You have societies of people who are starting to develop. You have the Pierre Coase family giving information that was coming from above. And there were probably other groups and other people that I don't know about. And in the middle of the 60s, you found the Hare Krishna movement. You found the Transcendental Meditation movement. You found Guru Maharaj. You found Kriya Yoga. You found all kinds of forms of yoga and Eastern philosophy and Buddhism becoming very popular throughout the West. All kinds of yoga of all different forms. People started talking about topics which they didn't address before. A lot of things started developing. There were first mind-expanding drugs, where previously people who were not very aware became aware of more things. Then different processes of expanding awareness developed. There were encounter groups. There were group meditations. There were rebirthing techniques. There were all kinds of purification techniques, of relaxation techniques. Alongside of this, there was a lot of information coming from above. You had channeling books appear. They became very popular. They sold tens of millions of copies. Even the one, and there are Conversations with God's books, which sold 60 million copies. You have a lot of information coming to people. Now, of course, all of this information was different in different ways, and it all probably led people in different directions, but that's not the point. The real point is that a large group of people, a sufficiently significant group of people, were impacted in their consciousness. And add to this all of Eastern Europe and Russia, where previously these things were very much prohibited, but where people are very naturally inclined to being connected to other energies. So you have a large group of people whose consciousness is transforming. Now, whenever people's consciousness transforms, what is compatible to them and what is not compatible to them also transforms. For example, before I was in a spiritual group, as you know, eating various kinds of foods, which today I don't even want to talk about, was normal. Now it's unthinkable. People I could be around, I can no longer be around. Music or art or entertainment or activities or even what I would learn, all of this has changed. As I transform, that which is around me transforms. That which I like, that which I dislike, changes. So I am shifting the focus of my energies in a different way. Now, many people are doing that. Millions and millions and millions of people are making dramatic shifts in the way they receive and the way they transmit energy. Now, take that group that is transforming, and at the same time, take another group of people who are exploiting the planet, exploiting people, killing people in war, or creating diseases of various kinds, or not helping somebody who needs help, making decisions based on economic principles. You get the idea. Now, what is happening is very interesting. You've got, basically speaking, a large division between those who are somewhat spiritually aware and those who are not very aware. That's the obvious point. That's also discussed as the traditional, you know, demons and devotees thing, or good versus evil thing. But it's not that simple. And that's what's the most important point. Those people who are not so aware are also more aware than they have ever been before. And if I remember to do it, I'd like to explain a little bit about that later, but I don't want to ruin my point. Let's just say they are actually more aware than they have ever been before as a group. And they are feeling a transformation. For when this other group of very aware people is making a transformation, because of their awareness, it is a huge energetic shift. As we all know, when you become more subtle in your energies, when you become more aware, you also become more powerful. And in that more powerful situation, you develop the capacity to influence that which is around you much more than ever before. If you want to eat that banana, go right ahead. So, everybody is more aware when their consciousness becomes more refined. Because what they do with their consciousness becomes more directed, it becomes more clear, it becomes more focused. And when they do things, it's with the power of intention. So they become aware of vibrations that are in the atmosphere. They become aware of other people. They become aware of the sum total of energies in the ether. And everybody affects everybody else in some way or another. So you've got this group of increasingly evolving sensitive people influencing all around them. And if you use the example of quantum physics or etherical physics, it doesn't depend on physical proximity. The proof is that we are sitting more than 6,000 miles away from each other, and yet we are very connected. The connection is not because I see you and you see me. The connection is because you are intending to connect to me and I am intending to connect to you. This creates the connection. But the image and the sound gives the impetus for the connection to take place. Now, people connect for various reasons. If you think about what happened a couple of years ago when the airplanes flew into the buildings in New York. Now, I don't want to talk about how or why that happened because that's not important. But whoever arranged that had a reaction which was quite different than what they thought it would be. All of a sudden, people all over the world connected. People connected with the pain of other people. Sensitive people all over the world were trying to send energy and do mystical things to help those persons who were suspended between lives, to help them understand that they were dead, that they had to move on, that they needed to go to the light. They were offering love, they were offering protection, they were offering assistance to those who have lost people. Sometimes this was done in the form of prayer. Sometimes this was done in the form of direct psychic intervention. Sometimes this was done simply because of feelings in the heart. But what happened was the global community got closer. Even those who hated America connected with others because there was a reason to do so. Oh, we did something good by destroying. In other words, there was a connection there. But whenever there's a connection, something happens which is unexpected. And what is unexpected is that everybody influences everybody on the subtle platform. And all of that subtle evolutionary energy of awareness infiltrated throughout all people's consciousness to some degree or another, and everything was again raised a step. And when everything was raised a step, we had again this problem of things which formerly you felt good about and wanted to have around you, you can't deal with anymore. There's a kind of an incompatibility of energy. And don't forget, we're talking now on large scale. So with this incompatibility of energy, you have an incompatible situation of energetic transfer. So that means an energy is sent out, but it is repelled by the receiver rejecting it. This receiving and rejecting of energy, when it happens on large scale, creates a vibration in the atmosphere. Just look what happened in the 60s. There was this enormous energy of rejection of the establishment. But because it was not taking place globally, it only really affected those places where it was taking place. But now, this is happening in a large scale. The pain people feel from AIDS is affecting everyone. And people are feeling uncomfortable about life and relationships and the future. They even ask questions like, what's the use of working hard and making money? It can all be destroyed in a second. So this is creating a shift in the whole foundational structure that everybody was supported by. Now, I guess I'll just have to say it because, you know, believe it or not, or think it's weird or not, I'll just tell you how I perceived it, and also some others that I know perceived it. Maybe 2 or 3 months ago, actually it was about a month before we came to Russia, of present reality or existence. You know how existence can weave together like this. Even in the Bhagavatam, it's talked about otum protum, the weaving together of the fabric of existence, like the threads on a cloth. Threads on a cloth are woven together. Everything is sitting on that fabric. But when that fabric is stretched too far, or bent out of shape, or torn, things that were resting on the fabric, or depending on it, no longer can stay. So what happens is that everything is up for questioning. What you find is that things which were accepted as givens are no longer axiomatic truths. I personally felt this dimensional stretching and weakening of everything that held us together very seriously being challenged at that time. And wherever I looked, whoever I saw, I could see that they were affected by it. But people weren't sure why they felt the way they felt. They weren't sure even what they felt. They just felt something. But those who I knew who were more aware were very upset. They felt very badly. All of this transformation of people rejecting energies which formerly they accepted all the time has created a stretching, a pulling, a challenging of the fabric of existence. But when that happens, that releases energy which has to go somewhere. So when you release energy at something, what usually happens? The weakest thing or that which is in the same frequency tends to be affected by it. I'll give you an example. Let's say people are screaming and yelling at each other and showing great anger. Those who are most affected are those who are sensitive, like children or pets, or sensitive and aware people. So all of this energy, all of this change, this transformation, created an agitation which was reverberating in the earth. Don't forget, it's happening everywhere. More or less. And the earth is an interesting entity because something which happens on one side of the planet can affect the totally opposite side of the planet. I saw we have here in America this nice TV station which gives all these scientific documentaries and scientific understandings about things that are happening. So this scientist was saying that this earthquake which happened underneath would most likely have an effect on the opposite side of the planet because of the way this planet is constructed. So you had the earthquake, you had the tsunami, and then 2 weeks later, you have all these reactions in California. If you just imagine the earth like this globe, over to there, it's bouncing inside this globe. All these energies are bouncing inside this planet. So therefore, probably the next thing that will happen is you'll find all of a sudden underground things will start to collapse. Volcanic motion will start to take place. Even just locally here, all of a sudden, holes in the ground appeared and houses collapsed in them. This hasn't happened in long. So what you are seeing is a reverberation of energy. The earth is vibrating according to the frequency of this energy and its opposition that is going on the surface of the planet. You've got people who are feeling this change and this transformation and who are desperately trying to hold on to the previous direction they were going in, or who were becoming even more insane to increase their enjoyment levels. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. And now, everybody is thinking about dying. Bad enough we had 4 hurricanes in 2 months here in Florida. And then there's all this stuff in the Indonesia, and then all this stuff in California. And all the while, a war is going on in Iraq. People thought, we really got to do it. Most other people thought, this is crazy. Strong opposition of energies. More and more violence in that country, and more opposition to it. Strange weather patterns are appearing because of all of this energetic vibration created by more aware people. We create the weather. By our consciousness, by our being at peace, being in harmony, we create good weather. By this opposition, by this tension, by this friction, by this hatred, by this pain, we create bad weather. Look historically at the weather patterns. Every time there is a war of major consequence, the coldest weather, the coldest winters in history took place. You see? It's our awareness. But when more aware people are putting out energy, it has a much greater impact. And now it is manifesting with the Earth's vibrations being a jumble of contradictions, a jumble of oppositions. You know, sometimes people say, these that are happening are a reaction to bad actions. I say, not exactly. You can't imagine the bad things that were done in the Middle Ages to people for the last 1,500 years, practically speaking. Horrible things took place. World War I, World War II, what more horrible things could have happened? You don't see such reactions. In fact, you see, that always used to bewilder religionists who want to believe that there's a God who simply punishes you, or an earth which is punishing you. I say it's not that. It's the consequences of what we are doing now as a global community. We now have energies which are very powerful because everybody's awareness has been increased. Global TV, satellite communications, the internet has made awareness increase thousands of times. The speed at which you can travel from one place to another on this planet has made a connection of peoples. And all of this spiritual development and awareness has raised everybody's level. And the power of our consciousness has now developed to the point where it has become a significant force in this planet. And I would even like to go so far as to say, become a significant force in the universe. Because it is a lot of attention above. Because we are now getting to the point where our consciousness can actually affect them. And they are interested in assisting in this transformation. So, this will continue to cause reactions, not only on the planet, but in governments, in economies, in health, in education, in all ways. It's all connected. Every time even there's this disaster, it's connected to the whole world. Everything is affected. Sweden is such a small place. Kamala knows two different sets of families that were directly affected by children and whose children were killed, whose wives or husbands were killed in this disaster. You've got the whole country of Sweden in a state of shock. Do you know what this does when it brings an energy amongst more aware people into the world? It's creating this reverberation. Okay, that point is made. Let's talk a little bit more about why this is inevitable. Let's say in a room together, especially in Russia, great example. And let's say you disagree. Nothing new. So you're talking and you're arguing and you're discussing and you're trying to negotiate and figure out. You have basically a few choices only. Either you become so agitated and so upset and so disturbed that you surrender to each other and you work something out. Or you become so upset and agitated, disturbed, you decide you can't stand what you're doing, you can't stand each other, you go away. But let's say you're a family and you live in the same place. You can't go away. You can actually either work it out or you destroy everything. The situation of intense conflict in a small place cannot continue. It's just unacceptable. It doesn't work. It has to. You can't just forget about it. So what happens in family situations? There might be divorce. One might kill the other. Or everybody might kind of disappear. The children might go away. Or one might make themselves totally sick. But something has to happen. Status quo, keeping everything the same, is not an option. And that's what's happening right now. Is the medium, amongst many, by which transformation is being forced because it can't stay the way it is. You've got in people with no money, you've got governments against governments, you name, there's conflict everywhere, and aware people are engaged in this conflict. And everybody has a good reason for doing what they're doing. So where does this energy go? It goes into us and we get sick. It goes into the atmosphere and the weather becomes crazy. It goes into the earth and the earth reacts. And then whenever there's a reaction, the whole thing steps up another level. It moves to yet another level, another level. You know, where a microphone goes into a speaker, goes into a microphone, goes into a speaker. It's okay. Suchi wondered, what am I doing? So all of this makes an effect. And all of these effects affect everybody. And everybody is suffering these effects. And just that's the way it's happening. So that's why in the beginning I said these two questions are related. Because the very question she asked was the very thing I was writing about yesterday. That's not an accident. It's because there's energies out there which aware people pick up. I'm not saying she's particularly special. We all do it all the time. And I don't mean that as an insult. Everybody's special in that way. We think about the same things. We may not express it, but we think about the same things. We feel the same things. We worry about the same things. We are connected. And the pain of any one of us becomes the pain of all of us in one way or another. The love to others becomes love that comes to us one way or another. Now, everything that I just said before about this increased awareness and sensitivity in people directly relates to relationships. And the thing about relationships, and especially now amongst sensitive and aware people, is that they have to realize that they are sensitive and aware. This has become more important now than ever before. Because there is this awareness of the world, of everybody around us, we have to consider that this is another factor coming into relationship. In other words, we're not just speaking here about our own problems or the problems we're having in our immediate relationship. We're talking about energies and problems and situations that are coming from those who are in the expanded global family as well. So this makes it more complicated. When there's only two, it's not so complex to understand all of the factors involved. But when you add more and more people, it becomes more and more difficult to have an easy time to make harmony. So if somebody is disturbed in a relationship, the disturbance may not be because of the partner in the relationship. The disturbance might be coming from external factors. This is something that has to be considered. Now, how do you deal with that? Well, there are two factors which make it very, very important, make it possible. The first one is honesty. The second one is creating an atmosphere of trust. Here in Gainesville, in Alachua actually, there's actually quite a serious problem going on. And describing it helps to clarify this situation or this discussion about relationships. There's a person here, he's a German fellow, his name is Prithu, everybody knows about it all over the world, so there's no need to hide. And he admitted publicly that he hadn't taken care of his family, that he was in a position he couldn't tolerate because he was not following the regulative principles for 20 years. So he resigned from being a GBC and a guru, and he was full of emotion. And literally, he had a complete breakdown. Now nobody knows what to do with him. He's a complete psychological disaster area. Now, Why is this? Masha, maybe you could shift the camera a little bit because it's not really picking up everybody in the audience, and I get a chair there that's not really important. Yeah. Okay, stop. Okay. Now, good. So now the problem is, why didn't he do something about this sooner? Why did he wait until it was a horrible catastrophe? You know, it's easier to fix things when they are little problems than to fix things when they are huge problems. Well, the answer is obvious. There was no trust in ISKCON for him to be able to speak to anybody. Who could he have spoken to? If he spoke to somebody previously, that person would have immediately made gossip all over the world. Isn't that the usual situation? As soon as somebody says something that's meaningful to them about how they feel, everybody talks about it. And then everybody condemns you. Bad, bad. And they judge you. You're a bad person. This happens everywhere. Not only amongst those who were leaders, but it happened to everybody because everyone is full of fear. And therefore, nobody wants to be honest. Now, okay, ISKCON we know, let's forget about that. But this same situation is there amongst people in normal society all the time. Oh, if the other one knows how I really am, they will reject me. They will condemn me. They will work against me. They will cause me difficulty. So therefore, nobody is honest with others on deep, significant levels. This is something that is absolutely detrimental to relationships. Relationships are destroyed when there cannot be this trust. Without this capacity to trust another person, there can be no good relationship. Because it is important and essential to trust the person you are trying to have a relationship with. Now, this requires certain assumptions. The most important of these assumptions is that the person I have a relationship with knows me, and they accept me for what I really am, not what they think I am. Now, this is the whole essence of relationship. Now, relationship, of course, is a very big word, a very broad word. It can refer to many different kinds of relationships. But what I mean to speak about here is close relationships. Now, in close relationships, often we don't want to reveal what we are for fear of not establishing the relationship. Because people, we think, have certain expectations. So we subconsciously try to fulfill their expectations because we think it would be good to have a relationship with them. So I act towards another person and present myself according to how I think they want me to be. Now, there's two very serious problems with that. The first serious problem is that I'm not sure that's how they want me to be. It's how I think they want me to be. And the second, even more serious problem is, if they like me because of an act I am performing, then they are in love with an actor or an actress, not me. Now, everybody watches movies, everybody sees stars, and we all say, oh, they're so wonderful, oh, when they are acting a certain role. But when they're acting as themselves in nature, in a natural circumstance, sometimes we say, ooh, how ordinary, how human, how vulnerable. So we like to live in illusion. Sometimes living in illusion is more fun, we think, than the reality. I even have heard about people who are having sex with others and fantasizing some star or some other person. They like illusion better. How many people go out of their way to really try to understand the real other person? If you remember, in Moscow, we talked about the austerity of actually understanding others. What does it do? Well, it makes them feel very good about you. And in relationships, it also does, the very fact that it creates an atmosphere of complete safety and trust, where you feel so safe with another person that you don't mind saying anything to them. And the other person should be the same way. That's what makes a good relationship, where both create an atmosphere where each can feel safe, where we guarantee in this relationship we will not judge or condemn the other. And more importantly, we will not take that which we hear from another and use it to harm them. We will not go tell other people in gossip. These things, these simple principles, create trust and faith in others. So you've got this problem where if the other person actually likes you for what you are not, when they find out gradually what you really are, it makes a conflict. So let's consider at the start of a relationship. In the start of a relationship, is it better to just try to make a relationship with somebody just because they look like somebody we should have a relationship with? Or should we be open enough to find out if this is somebody that I can or want to have a relationship with? Is it better to act out a role and play a part to attract another? Will that actually fulfill our desires for relationship? Is it better to just simply want to be with somebody because they fulfill some needs that we have? Neither of these things are very good for the long term. Because when the other party finds out you're acting, or you were acting, or that you're simply exploiting some facility they have, it makes everything very troublesome. Very, very troublesome. You look at the person you thought you loved and you say, who are you? I thought I knew you. I don't know you at all. Therefore, in creating relationships, the best rule is to try to understand the other person very well in an atmosphere where they feel trust. and then see if they, or ask them to understand you in the same way. See if they are capable of reciprocating. And when you both understand each other and accept each other for what you are, you've got a real solid relationship. Now, I'm not saying that this is something that happens in one day or one date or even 10. It's an ongoing process. People are very deep. They are very broad. It takes a long time to really know somebody. But when you take the trouble to do it, when you take the time to do it, you can really establish a very deep and a very meaningful relationship. And it's very harmonious because you're together because there is an internal harmony between each other, not because you created one. People on this level are compatible or they're not compatible. There's no in between. There is, of course, less compatible, not so compatible, and so on, but you don't want to be in a lifelong relationship with such people. You want to be together with people who you are compatible with. So harmony is something that you build by mutual trust, mutual safety and security in the relationship, in the love of being so deep that you wish to know the other person, and to accept the other person as they are, without demanding them to play some role to satisfy you. These are very important principles. This creates harmony in relationships. I think these principles are so important that one really doesn't need to go beyond these principles because everything is there. It all starts in the beginning. I feel very uncomfortable if I have to play some part just to have a relationship with somebody. Sometimes people call that antisocial or without many great social skills or something like that. But I don't see why I should compromise what I am for the sake of your expectations of me. Do you? Did that answer help? If you want to say something from Moscow, you got to turn yourself back on. Oh, maybe I have. I hope I don't have you muted here. No, you're not muted. I'll hear you if you speak. You know, this concept of twin souls is interestingly attractive and dangerously tricky at the same time. It's interestingly attractive because it creates a dimension to life which is exciting to uncover. It's dangerously tricky because it can create a situation where you can burn yourself up in a fire of your own creation. Let me give a general understanding here. I think you might find this interesting. There are people that you like to be with just because they're fun or you like to be with them. There are people, even who you hate or you have done things to you which are horrible, who may be in your soul group. Can you imagine that? There may be people in your soul group, people who are related to you through many lifetimes, who you are very intimately connected with in a loving relationship, who right now, in this lifetime, may be acting as your great enemies. That's wild. And a complete stranger may be doing a wonderful thing for you just out of love. Now you may ask, well, why would somebody who's in my soul family say, why would they do something bad to me? Well, the answer is very simple, because it's not bad. It's actually something very good. We're just so attached that we don't know it's good. We find out later on, sure, yeah, well, okay, that was actually pretty good. In that previous discussion, we were talking about that energy which comes in conflict, which creates a transformation. It's an intolerable situation that has to resolve, so this energy of conflict forces transformation. Human beings love it when things stay basically the same. They are very disturbed by constant changes. I mean, we are afraid of doing things to create change. But when we do it, it enlivens us very much. This is not true in 100% of the cases or all the time. It's a generalization. So sometimes, to create transformation that has to be there, we have to be forced. And usually those who are intimately connected with us are those who have the greatest power to create that force to transform. So all of those souls in that soul family can be your soul mates at any time. They can be your sons or daughters or fathers or mothers or lovers or husbands or enemies. They take different roles. All of you, all of us, we switch around in different positions. However, I'm not sure if this is so for everybody. I can't say. I don't know if anybody can say. But I do know the following. Sometimes, maybe all the time, I don't think so. I think sometimes, some souls feel very comfortable with the challenge of splitting, where that one soul now divides into two conscious entities. Now, okay, here we have a problem with words. Both are soul. However, they used to be one. Now they are two. However, they are of the same soul. Now, I would like to at this point draw your attention to the fact that there is only one of us, and we are all divided out of our choice. And at one point in our infinite evolution, we wish to feel the connection again, the wholeness again of all of us. But back to this twin soul. The two parts are one on a very localized spiritual level. And because of the intimate energetic connection, they share specifically the same exact energy. Yet, they have gone through their evolution in two totally separate cycles, or not cycles, two totally separate pathways, having different influences come to them, different experiences, different association, different bodies, different minds. Yet, there is a parallel development going on because they share the same energy. As one develops, the other develops. As one feels pain, the other feels pain. It goes on. Doesn't matter if they are separated by galaxies, because they are totally in tune with each other. Now, when their male and female balance, when their evolutionary balance is fairly whole, then it is very beneficial for them to meet, because they have chosen to be two. They like that. They've gotten used to that. They are attached to that. And they always try to strive to gain their individuality. So, if these two meet when they are not balanced, they can burn each other up. They just blast each other. They destroy each other. Just as sometimes we destroy ourselves because of our own imperfections that we hate. We destroy ourselves because we're not good enough. We're not perfect. So you have these two selves, each of which destroy themselves, and yet that means to destroy the other. So the fire of destruction between the two is incredible. It's amplified. Therefore, better not to find the twin. Better not to look. But when one is making great evolutionary strides towards balance within oneself, this energy flows to the other, and both are developing in a very solid, stable, and whole fashion. Okay, there are problems, sure. No, we are not speaking about perfect entities. We are talking about balanced people, complete in themselves. In that state, when both are ready, they meet, they connect, and they stick. You don't have to search. You just have to be ready. You just have to accept whatever is coming. Understand? It will come. When you try to make it happen and it's not ready, it destroys you. Therefore, the universe, which is much more intelligent than we are, keeps away such destructive meetings. And when the time is right, moves heaven and earth to make those meetings take place. There is no rule, there is no law that says it has to happen now, or it has to happen in this lifetime, or it has to happen at all, although it usually does. Now, it is happening more now at this period of time than any other time previously that I have heard about. The reason this is happening is because of this awareness, of this expansion, this evolutionary development, this understanding of the balance between the feminine and masculine energies. And when these two become one again with that balance, the powerful effect is just indescribable. It creates an impact in this world which is just fantastic. And the more this happens, the more the world is impacted. Because transformation has to take place. And usually it takes place with some kind of force or power from outside. Did that help? Was that the answer you were looking for? I guess I can comment on it, but you might not be so happy with the answer in terms of it being something special. But I'll answer it best I can. Okay? Okay, you got to mute it and everything. The reason, I don't remember that, but I can imagine why I would have said that. Because the answer, when you give it the real answer, which is what I just gave, was the real answer. You have to talk about a oneness which scares devotees who are not very aware of the actual philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, or the actual reality of existence. It's from that point of view you'd have to describe it differently just for devotees, because they're afraid of the actual answer. Because there's a lot of oneness involved here. There's a lot of merging of the consciousness involved here, which is like such a word to say. People freak out. Merge one. Now I'm desperately trying to think maybe there was some esoteric point that I I realized then, which I've completely forgotten now. So I do know that the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu echoes this 2-1-2-1 kind of a thing, not in an evolutionary manner, but the fact that two have become one, as giving that the direction for this age. Because Radha and Krishna are one soul who've divided themselves eternally for their pleasure. That's just what was stated. And now they have come together as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the two, there was one, two, one. And as we all know, so above, so below. What there is in the Supreme, there is in us. It's a question of degree. So it is not a totally foreign concept to us. It is not a concept which is mysterious, but it is a concept which is very esoteric. So we can share that experience on our own level. I don't know what more to say than that. I think we're pretty much at the furthest reach of my comprehension. Now I did suddenly get a realization of one more step, but I just don't feel like saying it right now. I'm a little afraid to do that. No, because I, you know, maybe it's just too totally insane. I mean, it might be totally insane. That sounds very Chaitanya Charitamrita about it. But anyway, it's just a fun thing to think about. Doesn't mean you have to believe it or even care about it at all. But it's like that one becomes two to develop the complete evolutionary flowering of the two as the male and female. That means us, the living entity now. We're talking about us, the little guys and girls. So we get to that platform, we are pretty well balanced, and then we come together again, right? But as two coming together in relationship. And we develop an intimate connection of oneness, but as two expanding our evolution. And who knows, maybe the two decide to be one again in the next possibility of evolutionary stage. The two decide to once again be one entity of incredible power. It's possible the axiom of as above, so below, as Radha Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it might be relevant to some of us, but maybe that is just crazy and stupid. But actually, it feels really interesting to think about it. Feels quite good. So get the guys in the white coats and cart me away. Yeah. You know, it's 2:30, by the way. My time, 2:30. It's 10:30 your time. I don't think we can go on forever, but you know, you guys over there are probably 8 today. us guys over here, it's just me and Suchi here because Kamala's in Seattle, so we really didn't eat that much. So, as you can see, if you can see, Doggy Poo back there is just laying around saying, you know, when is he going to get out of here and when are we going to do something? And my stomach is saying, when is this guy going to shut up and feed me? So, I'm kind of inclined to stop there, but I don't know about you. I mean, I think maybe also because what I just said so frightened me that I said something ridiculous that I want to run away. Okay, let's see what that question is. Can you say it again louder? Who united with Arjuna? Aha, aha. Aha, now I know what you're talking about. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. I really don't know. But for sure, there are parallels between those statements in the... I think it was more in the Gauragonadesha Deepika, not in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there is this union of souls and... I mean, there might be a parallel to that. I don't know. But I think it's applicable to show that what we were just talking about is possible and conceivable. So that gives like a further clue or a further indication that we can look for more clues and more indications to prove our point to ourselves. So that was, okay, it's a very esoteric, interesting point, and I'm glad it could come up, but I'm not going to swear on a Bhagavad Gita that it's the absolute truth, I tell you that. But it's sure fun to talk about and think about, and maybe it is true.